Father God, you've spoken to us this morning. We've worshipped you, and we just say, Lord, will you just continue with us this morning? Lord, just pour your spirit upon Cameron now as he brings us your word. Lord, I just feel that he's just taken us deeper into you and the series that we've been doing. So, Lord, may we hear your word, the truth, and wind spirit, Lord. That's word and spirit together. My heart's calling on. Amen. 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 Amen.
I forgot to attach, so I'll use this instead. It's a great privilege to speak today. We've been doing a series about being connected. So today, I want to speak on being created for connection, created for community. Created for connection, created for community. I think all of us can stand here today as people who have experienced relationship with one another. If I look at my life growing up, my dad and mum have always been involved in ministries. But one of the most important lessons I have received in that time is the fact that it is so important to be in community. If I think about the times that I've shared with people when I'm down, the community has been able to lift me up. I think about the times when I come so incomplete into life group that those around me are able to speak the word of God into my life. I think about the times that I'm happy that I've been able to share with people. But we were created for connection and was created for community. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. We're called to be contagious and obedient in walking set apart from the world. What we do is about manifesting God's power. So much of our practice of Christianity is focused on the words being preached, what we read, what we prayed. But the underlying power is God wants his Holy Spirit to join us together. In Matthew 16:19, Jesus said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. He's speaking to Peter. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosened in heaven. Jesus gave Peter authority. So today we stand here with authority to be created for connection and created for community. In Luke 21:37 or 36, it says, but stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all the things that are going to take place and stand before the Son of Man. I want to connect that to the fact that you are the light of the world, a city on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but put on a stand and give light. Through being united together, we can be the light to this generation. The very spirit that binds us together will unify our shared beliefs, convictions, behaviors, values. As long as we live on earth, we're meant to have an influence on the people around. For you were once in darkness, but now you are the light of the world. Live as children. We're called to be lights within community, within our community, within our church. The purpose of light is to give direction, making it possible to see. This analogy of being on a hill, even in darkness, you will see the light. Being created in community is about people being able to see the light. The Christian life is meant to have a visible impact, not to be lived in secret or hidden from the world. No one lights a lamp and puts it under a basket. You are light bearers today. And before we jump into community, you have to realize that you are bearers of God's light, of God's truth, of God's power. We must not hide our devotion to Christ. Instead, we are to remain humble, doing everything we can. For the Lord gave us this command: I've made you a light to the Gentiles, to bring salvation to the furthest corners of the earth. We're created for connection and community, but do not limit it to this church service, or the life groups, or the gatherings. God wants it to be taken to the ends of the earth. The same as being brought up in church, that has guided me through the dark periods, the light periods. That's guided me from when I've been feeling small, when feeling big. The one common impact that has been in my life is God-fearing people being at the center, at the core. We're not called for isolation. The mission of the church is to participate in the Father's purpose, to reconcile everything to himself. Jesus tells the disciples, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. The underlying idea today is we've been created for connection, so we have been created for community. This church uses life groups to shine the power of Jesus, his potential, his purpose, his gospel. You are the light. If you have been created to be light givers, which means we've been created to be power amplifiers of the Holy Spirit. If you have been called to power, you've been called to community, a community of empowered believers. Each one of you is powered by the Holy Spirit. Each one of you have been given authority to walk with one another in unity. We've been created to be stewards of relationships. In the simplest way, we're connected through relationship and we're connected through mission. One man said, Jesus is the hope of the world and the local church is the vehicle of expressing that hope to the world. Today, church, we have a hope for one another, but a hope for the world. The church's focus must be external, not internal. The focus is serving and reaching, however, it's not taking and gaining. There is no greater potential to change lives and carry our kingdom work in our community than the local church, the local gathering through life groups, and the local gathering of believers. If we develop relationships, we can develop and live through the mission. If we don't have relationships with one another, we won't have disciples to undertake the mission. Life groups in this church are used for the equipping, the empowering, and the discipling of men and women to pursue God's kingdom and for God's future and for God's promises. The purpose of small groups and Sunday services is not just to gather, but it's to grow, resulting in us experiencing the New Testament values, combining the Word, Spirit, relationship, and mission. We're here to be a connected community. Together we can build a church that sustains support for kingdom growth. The power and potential of us gathering together, like today, is unlimited. God wants his signs and wonders to be at the center of why we meet. His healing, his word, his contributions. He wants to speak to every one of us today. And that is through community. The power and potential is unlimited. God has called each one of you to be bearers of light. Luke 9:1 says, He called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons and to heal all diseases. Through light bearers, community givers, we're called with authority. Not just over flesh and blood, but God has given us authority to rebuke, to live in freedom, to live in peace. God does not want you to be downtrodden today, but He wants us to be united, that we can stand against any form the devil puts in our way. The simplest reason we need to connect community is Jesus said this, love your God with all your heart, with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and the greatest. And the second, love your neighbor as yourself. In order for us to love God, He requires us also to love one another. How we live our community walk should reflect the relationship we have with God. Because He set His Son on the cross so that we could have life. He is the hope. He is our joy. He is everything that we ever need. And He wants us to pass that to one another through this service, through when we meet in the week, from when we get together when we're feeling weak. The spiritual reality we need is we need one another. We do not need individualism. We do not need one, or we need oneness. The Lord stated, do not forsake assembly together. But this is more than an official meeting. It's a call to be empowered by God to do life together. As one body, we are to be living proof of our loving God. The Bible teaches that everyone has a gift and a talent of God. The purpose of the gift is to equip the body to serve God and to make church stronger. We're connected for community. We're connected for the fact that actually Jesus' body can be equipped. That cannot be done independently. So, if we've been created for community, why do so many people avoid community? One of the simplest things, actually, which made me smile on the week, is sometimes it just takes an invite. Sometimes people are waiting. They want to be a part. They want to be able to give. But they haven't been invited. So let your light shine today by inviting those around to receive more of Jesus. I think one of the things through my time of attending life groups, kinships, one-to-ones, is sometimes there's a fear of vulnerability. However, God says, when you are vulnerable, I'll make you complete. Sometimes people are going through something so personal, they don't want to connect. But I'm going to say today that that is a time to connect. That is the time that God says, my people will strengthen you. The trouble is, sometimes people avoid being in the community because of disagreement and misunderstanding. If that is you today, and you have an issue with the church or with someone, I say, God wants to reconcile that. God wants to heal that. Sometimes it's just political and social issues. People may just disagree with the church stance. But the one thing I believe about this church is we believe in the Word of God. And actually, if the Word of God offends, I'm sorry, but we're going to stand by it. Because actually God's Word is truth. God wants us to be united. God wants us to be visible proofs of his true word. If our culture asks us to dilute our words because it offends, I'm going to say we don't. We stand in truth today, but that has to be done also in love. You'll know my disciples by the way they love one another. I think there's a danger if we come just to listen and not get connected into community. The trouble is, the danger of an unconnected community is the fact that one of the biggest breakers of church is gossip, complaining, slander, division. Paul, when he wrote the words, "The kingdom of God is of power, not of talk," there was people in that church slandering, gossiping, complaining. That is not God's intention for our community. God wants us to be united through him, for him. So I'm talking a lot about community, but one of the most important things is Jesus' model for a connected community, life community, is very simple. Christ's mission was to obey the Father's instructions. Jesus lived out the principles he's taught. His actions, his attitudes, his interactions with others was all down to the fact that actually he wanted to be a light, he wanted to be a hope. Our groups as a church should be for this. Jesus firstly invited his disciples to follow him. After this, he went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at a tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." Jesus says to all of us today, "Follow me." This is one so, so important thing in our life. Jesus was physically present. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, it didn't say Jesus was sat there thinking about the Sea of Galilee, or Jesus was sat there on Facebook typing about the Sea of Galilee. He was physically present. In our communities, we're called to be physically present. At all levels of church, we're a flat line, but there's different talents. But we're all called to be present, which is hard. Again, I touched on this in Mark 6:7. Jesus gave his disciples authority. He called the 12 when he began to send them out two by two and gave them authority. Today, we stand in authority. This is the interesting one. This is about showing the light. Jesus spent time in physical fellowship and ate with all people. Because the tax collector says, why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners? If we are not in community, if we're not being light bearers, how can the gospel ever be seen, passed, shared, experienced? Church is more than just the walls here today. Church is us connected in mission, in relationship. Jesus taught the disciples as he guided them through his word. Seeing the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And when he sat down, his disciples came to him. And he opened his mouth and taught them. Our groups are about teaching disciples the word of God. Not the next craze, the next system, the next best belief. We create community to share God's word. Jesus believed also in recharging within our groups. The apostles returned to Jesus, told him that they had done and taught, and he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Our community and congregation, our life groups, our one-to-ones can be a place that we can rest. A place that we should feel that we can be vulnerable. If we were created for connection and created for community, God just wants to stir us up in every way. Using Jesus' model of community will promote powerful fruit through connection and through community. First, in Hebrews 3:12, it says he wants a powered community. He wants us to stir one another up in love and good deeds. We're called to show the love of Christ, to bear one another's burdens. The one thing I can see and have seen through the communities through the years is the fact they can be used as pillars. If you are feeling so burdened, the people around you can lift you up. It's also important to confess to one another the struggles that we have, James 5:16. Through community, we can show hospitality to one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another. The truth is, being a light bearer is so much more about being there, to be able to be seen not for our own desire, but for people to see the glory of God. Our vision for a connected community is to vision a better future through walking life together, through relationship and mission, walking life with an empowered congregation, through the Holy Spirit, sharing the unifying word of God, which will allow us to shine. It should be our desire to see the local groups effectively and fruitfully engaged in kingdom mission. However, this only happens when we come together as brothers and sisters, servants, walkers of the faith. Through coming together, we can reach out locally. We can reach out to the sick, the poor. We can be united in corporate prayer, worship. Together we can experience the empowering and the equipping of the church in every arena of life. Together we can nurture men and women to understand who they are in the body of Christ. Ultimately, this starts with the relationship between God and people. If we're called to mission, we're called to relationship. If we've been created for connection, we've been created for community. Today, I stand here just as a man with something to share. However, we are light bearers today. This church cannot be internal. It needs to be external. But the one thing I believe today is actually all of us need to be united in prayer, because we are all at different parts of our life. And Jesus wants to be a part of that. Jesus wants, he wants us to walk in freedom and joy. We're all going through things. However, we're connected to spend time with one another through community. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Cameron.
Good morning, church. Yes, so I had a dream this morning and I shared it with the pastor and he's given me the go ahead to share with the church. So I dreamt that it was like a service, like a Sunday service, and the worship group, they were just setting up the sound and they were playing the instruments. It was so nice, but we couldn't hear it. The congregation couldn't hear it. And then someone just said from the technical stand, said, check the cables, and everybody was fiddling with the cables and everything. And then while they were doing that, the pastor came up and he sat and said, oh, while they're still fiddling with the cables, let's get on with the word. And then he started talking to us about how important it is to study the Word of God together as a family. And he shared that, oh, when I read the Bible with my wife, I tend to get more out of it than when I read it alone. And then he started sharing from Isaiah 40. I'm just going to read some portions of that. Isaiah 40. From verse 1, it says, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Tell her that her sad days are gone and her sins are pardoned. Yes, the Lord has punished her twice over for all her sins. Listen, is the voice of someone shouting, 'Clear the way through the wilderness for the Lord. Make a straight highway through the wasteland for our God. Fill in the valleys and level the mountains and hills, straighten the curves and smooth out the rough places. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. The Lord has spoken.' A voice said, 'Shout.' I asked, 'What should I shout?' 'Shout that people are like grass, their beauty fades as quickly and as the flowers in the field. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but not the breath of the Lord. And so it is with people. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever.'" I'll just jump down to 18. "To whom can you compare God? What image can you find to resemble him? Can he be compared to an idol formed in a mold, overlaid with gold and decorated with silver chains? Or if people are too poor for that, they might at least choose wood that won't decay and a skilled craftsman to carve an image that won't fall down. Haven't you heard? Don't you understand? Are you deaf to the words of God? The words he gave before the world began. Are you so ignorant? God sits above the circle of the earth. The people below seem like grasshoppers to him. He spreads out the heavens like a curtain and makes his tent from them. He judges the great people of the world and brings them all to nothing. They hardly get started, barely taking root when he blows on them and they wither. The wind carries them off like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Who is my equal? Asks the Holy One. Look up into the heavens, who created all the stars. He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name." And verse 27. "O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is everlasting God, the creator of the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depth of his understanding. He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youth will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion. But those who trust in the Lord, or those who wait on the Lord, will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." So in that dream, the particular verse he was reading to us was that 31. "But those who wait on the Lord," and we were like echoing it back to him, "will find new strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint." And in that dream, I saw like a group of children just on the side, and they were also participating in the service. And then like a little outline where the words connect and relationship was written on it. That was the only word I could pick out from like a Bible study outline that was done for the children. And some older people were teaching them, and the youth too were participating. And the word God gave to me is there is going to be renewal that will cut across all ages, all groups in the church. The beauty of the flower, he said, it doesn't last. It fades, it withers. And God is saying, some people might feel like that flower. you've been planted in the fields, beautiful to build, but then you feel like you've been left over, you've been neglected. Like people will come and then they'll harvest some flowers, take them to the stores. You know, they look beautiful how they, and then someone might buy it and take it to their houses, put in a flower pot, you know, pour some water in, and that could last some days, but it doesn't last forever. It doesn't last forever. It still gets to wither. But the one that was left in the field, you might be feeling left over. You might be feeling neglected. You might feel like you've been, you know, left there just to the weather, sun shining, beating hard on you, and the wind blowing so hard, and you just feel like you are no longer beautiful. And God is saying, my word is able to sustain you, is able to bring that beauty back into your life. Don't look at those who you think have gone ahead, those who you think that, you know, they've just been, you know, picked from the park and they've decorated the tables, they'll still get to wither. But right there where you are, as you wait on me, as you are patient, you know, like the widow that Elisha went to and he said, I haven't got anything in my house. I've just got a little flour for myself and my son, and we're just going to eat and we'll die. And the prophet said to her, just prepare something for me. And you feel like that lady, like you're waiting on God, literally like a waitress, waiting on him, and you've served him beautiful meal. You've done so much for him, and you just feel like it's just eating, it's ignoring me. I mean, why is he not thinking about me? God is saying, as you wait, my word will sustain you. As you wait on me, your strength is going to be renewed. And something that needs renewal is something that maybe expired. Maybe you feel like that. Maybe you feel you're in a deplorable state. You feel neglected. You feel like, you know, like an old house that is just ramshackle, just getting, you know, almost destroyed. And God is saying, I'm able to renew you. I'm able to bring that beauty out of your life. Don't feel like you have been passed over. Don't feel like time has gone. Some people look back at the days of their youth. They feel like, oh, the good old days. God is saying, even in your old age, I'm able to bring beauty out of you. There will be times when youth will get utterly exhausted. They would utterly fall in exhaustion. Like people running a marathon. No matter how much performing and enhancing drugs they've taken, it's going to run out. But the strength that God is releasing onto you is not going to run out. You're going to soar high like the eagle. You're going to run and you won't be weary. You will walk and you will not faint, because the word of the Lord is the one that will sustain you. It's the word of the Lord that lasts forever. People might be like grasses, they might be like flowers that fade, but the word of the Lord lasts forever. So for your beauty to continue, for the strength of the Lord to carry you in difficult times, the word of the Lord is the one that will sustain you. So I don't know if any of what I've said resonated with your heart this morning. I just want you to look to God and just hold on to the word of the Lord. Let's follow the example of those who, through faith and patience, they obtain the promises. God is faithful to his word. It will never fail. Praise the Lord.
Okay, time is coming on, but